as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel has cast off the things that is good, and the enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. They've cast off the good things, and as a result, the enemy now can pursue them. We have a tendency to depart from the things that God uses in order to protect us against the enemy. James chapter 1. Verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Every time we preach the word of God, it's like a reflection of who we are and what we need to change. And then Romans, the second chapter, verse number 13. For not the hearer of the law are justified before God. Can you imagine sitting in church, hearing the word of God, but you're not justified? But the doer of the law shall be justified. You got to do something with what you hear, what you understand. God, we ask your blessing upon the word. Touch it. Your presence has been so awesome in this place. Touch every individual, God. Allow us to feel your presence and understand your word. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. After I got out of school, I got a job with a New York insurance company. This is a few years ago. And then I was sent to New York City, someone who has really never been in a big city before. But I went to New York City for 2 months of training. And I was taught that there are two things that were imperative in adjusting claims. I was in training as a claims adjuster. Number one was to establish that there was coverage for the loss under the policy. It was imperative that I find in the fine print of the policy that there is coverage for that which is claimed. Not just assume there is coverage, but it had to be black and white written in the policy. Show me the section where there is coverage. Number two was to determine whether or not there is liability or wrong or negligence by someone to substantiate a payment of the loss. Again, it wasn't a judgment call. There had to be specific proof of a negligence before it could be covered. Too many times I had to tell people after they've made a claim, walk into their house after examining the policy and say, I'm sorry, but there is no coverage for your loss. I wish you would have read the policy closer. I wish you would have seen within the paragraphs of the policy that there was a void for some of the things that you were exposed to. But I thought I was covered. My agent said I was covered. He said, don't worry, you're in good hands. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm the professional. I'll take care of you. Nevertheless, there wasn't any coverage, and someone was angry. someone was disappointed. See, an insurance policy is a contract between the insured, the people, and the insurance company. You pay a small loss, which is called a premium, to guard against a large loss, such as a fire or a tornado or an accident, and all of the conditions of the policy must be met in order to pay the claim. So where are you going with all of this information that isn't important to me, Pastor? Well, the Word of God is also a contract between you and God. We have a policy, and there are policy conditions within this book that have to be met. The Bible lays out the policy conditions for each and every one of us, and it's incumbent upon each of us not just have somebody say, hey, I think you're covered, don't worry about it. No, it's incumbent upon us to look at the descriptions in the policy. Now, if we conform to the Word of God, there is automatic coverage. Got you covered. For all of the dilemmas in our life, and we have an obligation to meet certain requirements within the Word of God that will never change. There's no addendums to the Bible. God doesn't say 100 years later or 2,000 years later, I'm sorry, we'll have to have an addendum because the people have changed. No, His Word is the same. It won't change at all. But if we conform to the contract or God's Word, then the promises, if not conformed, the promises, well, they're null and void. And heaven says, sorry, I can't cover your loss. But I thought that all I had to do is go to church. I thought all I had to do is, well, confirm that I love God. Are you telling me that you can't take care of my problem? Well, I'm sorry. You didn't meet the requirements of the Word. Romans 2 and 13 says, for not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doer of the law shall be justified. It's not enough just to hear what God wants. We have to somehow conform to what God is saying within the contract that He has. What a wonderful contract. What a wonderful protection in regard to any laws, any circumstance that we have in life. So then saints become frustrated thinking all of this time they are covered, but then they haven't complied to God's terms and conditions and declare, well, I guess God just doesn't do what He's supposed to do. I thought I was covered for healing. I thought I was covered for protection. I thought I was covered for dilemmas in my life. And some people wonder why they're always struggling with finances, yet they haven't complied with what the Word of God says. You see, I love God. I worship God. Okay, but have you conformed to the contract? And that goes with every situation within the Bible. Turn to Malachi, please. It's familiar, sometimes painful. Malachi, the third chapter. Verse number 10, it says, bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. So there are conditions. Oh God, I want the blessing. I want to be covered under your contract. Okay, well then you have to comply to the conditions. Those are God's conditions. And Everything that we get from God is conditional. It's not because we're a nice person. It's not because we're faithful. It's not because we worship God and love God. But how have we conformed to what the Word of God says? Because God cannot circumvent His own Word in our lives. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land." So it's conditional. There's all kinds of conditions. If you will, I will. That's what it says. Conform to the contract God has written and receive the blessings. He says, blessings are always contingent on the obedience to His word. And that's why third world nations, they get to the place where it's, well, what do you want me to do, Pastor? And then God blesses and blesses. His blessings are always contingent. Well, Pastor, I think, well, that's the problem. It's not a matter of what you think, what you feel. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. But does your opinion line up with what the Word of God says? If not, you are in for a lot of disappointments in serving God. Is this too hard for you? There's no sense in going halfway with God and getting a half a loaf or being disappointed because you didn't do certain things even though you were ignorant to Him. That's why it's so important to preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth so you can get the whole blessing from God, you see. It seems impossible that the passion which once moved us to come to an altar, brought us together, changed us, sent us out to win souls and caused us to want to sacrifice and do more for God, could ever become cold to the point of disregarding His word because it's no longer important to me. And yet I think that's what's happening to America. We go so far. I don't believe that it's necessary to do this or do that. We've set aside the good things of God, and now we're being pursued by the enemy and temptations that we never were before. And there's an apathetic spirit within the church thinking, well, I'll consider doing that, Pastor, but I'm not going to go, you see? And then God's saying, oh, if I could just gather you, if I could just give you the things that I want to give you, but I'm sorry, there's no coverage for that. To endorse our own agenda, knowing it doesn't conform to the policy, no longer under authority, free to be free-range Pentecostals. Oh, there are chickens that are kept in cages, you know, and they get fattened up and all of that. But today, we want free-range chickens, you know. And unfortunately, we have free-range Pentecostals who, well, I'll do my thing. Okay, God's given us a free spirit. God gave us a choice. But how does it line up with the policy? When someone deviates from God and has broken the contract, Adam and Eve broke the contract with just one bite and suffered great consequences. Is it really that important? Yes. Today people are taught that they can compromise His word and still be blessed. Wrong. You cannot. This book is so important to line up with in order to have the life that God really wants us to have. God is very, very specific in His word. He doesn't deal in generalities. It's all laid out in the contract between God and man. Elijah, the man of God, told Naaman to dip how many times? Not three times, not five times, not six times, but when he dipped seven times, he got a healing from leprosy, and it happened immediately. We can get so close to what God wants to do for us, but one thing thou lackest, Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the word faith is the word faithfulness. So you can do all of what you do and then lack something that pleases God. You see, God has a purpose for every little thing that he has asked us to do. Every little thing. They are not cages. They're not things that he wants to make us sad with. But he's saying, if I will give you this instruction, if you will read the policy, you will find yourself riding on the high places. It may not seem important to us mortals, but to God, every little thing is important that we conform to his word. And I know that doesn't bode well with today's society because we have greater freedom than we've ever had, but we're not seeing the hand of God like we could have. And when God instructed Moses to get Israel out of bondage, God was very, very specific in his instructions. And Moses didn't know that it was a prelude to our own salvation. And so many times when they were in the tabernacle in the wilderness, God gave them instructions and they didn't know why they were doing what they were doing. But again, it was a shadow and type of what we we're going to experience. So would you turn to Exodus, the 12th chapter? I know a lot of you know this scripture so well, especially if you're doing Bible studies, but it illustrates how important it is to conform to what God is saying we need to do. Verse 1 of that 12th chapter says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. And if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with the legs and with the pertness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth until the morning shall ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, you're talking about specific instructions. What if that Jewish couple would have simply taken the lamb and tied it to the door, you know? What if they didn't do it on the right day? What if they didn't do it in the right procedure? Would judgment come to them? And I wonder, perhaps there were some who just didn't follow the instructions of God, and there was judgment in their home. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." You know, there's a lot of things that are going on in this world today, and I really do believe that we have a protection of God over us because we have conformed to the Word of God. The Lamb delivered Israel, but Jesus delivered man. God is a detailed God. Take a lamb on the 10th day, slay it on the 14th. It's got to be spotless, a male lamb. Don't break a bone. Roast it with fire, not boiled. Eat it all that night. Loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. And above all, take the blood of that lamb and apply it to the house, the doorpost, and the lintel. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No judgment. So many don't understand that it was a shadow and type of Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem on the 10th day, and on the 14th day, he was killed by everybody, including me, including you. Spotless lamb, not a bone in his body was broken. And then, after Calvary, that blood was applied to us in the waters of baptism, and as a result, there's not judgment. Well, I just feel that if I accept the Lord as my Savior, I'm sorry. It's not according to the plan. The plan is specific. Why would God be so specific and then just decide it's not important anymore? Who is it that changes the Word of God to say these things don't matter any longer? God is still looking for the blood applied to our tabernacle or our body. And don't tell me that God doesn't have a very specific plan for each and every one of us according to his contract about every aspect of our life. If you want certain things, you just have to conform to what his word says. Today, religion has streamlined salvation to deal with generalities and conditions of the Bible, and that can start to flow into the church of the living God. We can get to the place where we no longer think things are necessary. I see it creeping into our own organization where, well, you know what, we want to make it easier for people to respond to us, and so we're going to delete certain aspects of the policy so it be easier for them. But they don't understand that there are consequences, because when you get rid of the good things, now all of a sudden the enemy starts to pursue you. And all of a sudden you have an appetite for the things you never had an appetite for. And now all of a sudden you feel like you need to rebel against authority like you never did before, because you got rid of the gates, you got rid of the walls. Many who had truth are casting off the things that are good, and the enemy can now pursue them, setting up teachers in positions to dumb down doctrine that caused people to be cut off from the blessings of God. Oh, I want the blessing of God, but they don't even know why they're not getting the blessings of God. It's just what happened to Israel. They started to conform to the things that are around them. Folks, it's just as simple as conforming to the contract that God has made with you and I, and he can't go back on the provisions which are in the Word of God. We can't change his mind. We can't change his word if we want the things to be taken care of under his blessing. Oh, but my agent said it was covered. Holiness standards? Well, I don't think it's salvational. Less church is all right as long as you spend time with your family. The preaching is a suggestion, and then you hear heaven say, I'm sorry, you're just not covered. You're just not getting what you're expecting to get. Our God is a God of detail, and I don't have to wonder, am I saved? When was I saved? Would you take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the 19th chapter? Verse number one, again, familiar scriptures. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, or those who were learners, and Paul said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You know what? That's me. Been learning about God, went through parochial school, walked into a Pentecostal church. They're talking about the Holy Ghost, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I've never heard anything like that before. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which had come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." And so we have those who are simply saying, well, the Holy Ghost really isn't for us anymore, and you just need to believe. It's not important. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all of the men were about 12. And he went in the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. How many of you have been baptized more than once? Look at the hands. I was baptized as a baby. I never knew it. I was 30 years old before I was baptized the correct way, before I understood about the Holy Ghost. And there it was. It was in the contract. And there were things that God wanted to bless me with, but he couldn't because I hadn't conformed to it. You see, God wants to get close to each and every one of us, but there's a problem. The problem is sin. But when we're baptized in his precious name, the blood is applied to our tabernacle, and now we are covered in his righteousness, and God can come as close to us as he wants. We get married, and the husband is responsible for the provision and the protection of the wife. And when we take on the name of Jesus, he is now responsible for our provision and our protection. Hallelujah. Acts the 10th chapter, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. What kind of man? A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Wow. What an individual. Yet he's not conformed to what the Word of God says, and he does not have all of the access to God's blessings. He's not covered yet. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers," or worship, "and thine alms," or giving, "are come up as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do." Hey, listen, here's a devout man, a guy who prays to God always. He's got everything going for him, but he hasn't conformed to the contract, so he can't be totally covered. And judgment is still there until he conforms to the policy. Hallelujah. I know this all sounds judgmental to the rest of Christianity, but nevertheless, we got a whole lot going for us. Someone who has died of a heart attack comes back because you're covered, you see. Brother Fitch, you believe that? Hallelujah. You're not brain dead, are you? Glory to God. 20 minutes without oxygen. His wife says he's smarter now than before he died. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. Because you've read the policy. You understand it. You've conformed to the conditions of the policy. And now I'm going to take care of you in time of loss. Even when you're negligent, even when you mess up, even when things aren't going well for you. But the doctor said, I don't know if there's anything we can do. I'm sorry. The book says you're covered. I don't know how we're going to make the house payment. I'm sorry, you're covered. My kids have gone berserk. I'm sorry, you're covered. I'm going to deal with them. Hallelujah. It would be a terrible thing that you thought you were covered, but when it's all said and done, you're not. There are so many frustrated Christians because they read the Word of God and say, oh, look what they did 2,000 years ago, but they're not experiencing it for themselves because they haven't conformed to what the Word of God says. I must have said this 1,000 times over the last 29 years. You can't get good in order to get God. You've got to get God in order to get good. You cannot do, we can't have church by ourselves. We got to have God involved in every service. I love what people used to say, if the Lord will. Today, people get to the place where I'm going to do it. I hope God falls in line. But when it's all said and done, we need to conform. I'm not judging. I'm simply going according to the contract. I remember sitting in a Bible study in my office back in 1977, and this scripture was read, and I remember I burst out in tears. It just covered my Bible. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, this is Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I'm sorry, you're not covered. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, this house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I know what I believe. I'm not changing my mind. I don't care who becomes your agent of spirituality. They do not have the authority to change the contract. Because man can't help you. It's God that has to help you. One last scripture, Acts the 2nd chapter. Some of you have read this before. Verse 36, Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Savior, Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's the answer. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins, or the washing away of our sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this warped and perverse generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. It can't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. No addendums. Nobody can write anything to add to this word or take away from it, or they'll be cursed. The question this morning is, are you covered? Are you covered by the blood? Are you covered by the contract? If not, you can be, because today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of salvation. Romans 4:7 says this, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I want to be covered. I don't want heaven to say, I'm sorry. You know, I can only give you this because you've only conformed to this area. I want to be conformed. Hallelujah. God could come tonight, folks. What are we holding out for? You know, we can't get what we really want. We all want pretty much the same thing out of life. God has created a void in each and every one of us that can't be fulfilled by anything except him. People have tried, it just doesn't work. But when we're in line with his word and in line with his spirit, oh my, every day is a good day. There's a peace that passes all understanding. God is as close to you as you could ever be, but we can't hold back certain areas and say, well, you know what? I'm only going to go so far. There will always be a day when we're going to need the almighty hand of God to reach down and fix our situation. And he wants to do that. He wants to do that. What an awesome thing that happened in camp. What an awesome thing that happened in Mexico. But we need to have a continuing experience such as that in every service that we gather together. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? I don't want God to put any limitations on us. Amen. I want all that he has for us. The altar's open. Would you come?